she first arrived on the scene in 1957, he saw her at a village fete and took a shine to her. And I believe he had a cine camera with him. And so I suppose he looked at the pictures. And then the next time he saw her, she was demonstrating a thing called the household drudge. And I think he asked her out. And I think she resisted him for a while because he was a country lad and she was a town girl. And she didn't know anything about the... I can remember saying once, is that a pig or something, you know? I mean,
so it was a learning curve for you as much as for huge the learning thing. Curve.
Yes, they had to give me a lot of direction in those days, yes.
But is it something that you feel comes naturally these
well,
days?
Well, now, we all do. We walk into the studio and there it is. There's the village, you see. And it isn't at all because you've been in and had a look. But I can see hollyhocks and holly berries and a church steeple. And we all can. This is part of the fun of it, really.
So did you think at the time that you would be in the Archers for as long as you have been?
No, because I joined for 6 weeks and I was desperate to get back to the theatre. Now, I'm really glad now that I stuck it out because not very many people would employ somebody of my age. So I'm very grateful.
How did you come to the Archers? How did you find out that you were auditioning?
In those days, every actor did the general BBC audition and I was awful. I trembled all over. I couldn't do it. I had no idea of how to do microphone technique. And I ended the audition piece with a little bit of my own, which I'd been working on the bus as a clippy to get some dosh. And I'd heard this amazing little conversation between two of the girls. You know, it started with these girls saying, you can't come in here unless you're a virgin. And I pricked my ears up at that and listened to this. And it was a nice little conversation. So I think this is what caught their ears. And I was working in a theatre in Oxford and I had a telegram from the then producer, whose name was Tony Shrine, and he said, come and do an audition for the Archers. And I said, no, I can't, I won't do that. And everybody in the theatre said, no, you must do it because you get a bit of dosh. And in those days, I was earning £7 a week in the theatre in Oxford, which was hard. And the BBC said, we pay 7 guineas an episode. Now, that was a lot of money. So I did come up and do the audition, but I had had an earlier conversation with the producer. I rang him up and said, I really don't know very much about the Archers. Can you please fill me in? And he said, she's a sexy blonde in a tea tent. So I did a sexy blonde voice, you see, and because I wasn't desperate to get the part, as always happens, I got it.
So how have things changed as an actor in the Archers since you joined the cast?
We all had very posh accents in those days, you see. We all sounded like... There was a lovely woman presenter called Sylvia Peters. We all sounded like Sylvia Peters. And recently, at Norman Painting's memorial, they played a bit of my early part with Norman. And Charles Collingwood, who plays Brian in the Archers, came up to me and said, I didn't know you could do posh. Because nowadays, of course, we've dumbed down. We've all dumbed down.
So has that been a conscious thing?
Yes, it's been a conscious thing. Life is much more earthy now. We don't pretend.
And you've been synonymous with the Archers for so long. Is it something that you find creeping into your everyday life, or do you try and keep it away once you leave the studio?
We all care about our characters. And if a new scriptwriter comes along and doesn't know the background, and he says something that doesn't really fit, it's not very nice. You feel uncomfortable and you try and get it swapped a bit. I feel I know my character backwards, of course. I'm amazed at her, really. She's very, very good and everything I'm not, really.
Your voice is very distinctive as well. Do you get recognised a lot by the public?
Sometimes people stop me. When Brian Aldridge was having his affair with it, I was in Waitrose just doing my shopping and a woman I'd never seen before came up to me. She said, we've been invited out for drinks on Friday. Now, may I go? And I knew exactly what she meant. Was something going to come to a head on Friday? And I said, you'll be perfectly all right to go out and have your drinks on Friday. Thank you, she said.
Let's talk a little bit about the Archers in general. And why are we here, do you think, 60 years later? What's the appeal?
I think because it's short, 15 minutes in a day. It's short enough for even the busiest person, if they want to listen, to listen. It is sincere. Everybody is desperately sincere about it. And the writing is the most important thing about the Archers, of course. And they don't do ridiculous things. Of course, you've got to have a bit of interest every now and then, but it's kind of Twitter in a way, isn't it? We've kind of invented Twitter. It's the everyday things that keep people interested. And the characters are very, very important because people get interested in characters and they want to know what's going to happen to that character. It's sort of nosiness in a way, isn't it?